This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah. Show's really kicking today. Really moving, baby.
I'm feeling it.
Really moving. Did somebody just insult you?
Really badly.
What happened?
I was there. It hurt the
beat. So you're shocked, too.
I walked out of the room. I was so offended.
Rodney, our engineer.
Right. Who really keeps this place running.
Barely, by a thread. But right. Yeah. It's like MacGyver. I think he just shoved an old pack of bubble gum into your computer to make it work. I don't know how he did it.
It's still not working.
But he said, hey, you know, I thought of you the other day. I was watching the WWE documentaries on A&E. Right. He goes, man, they are fantastic. And I went, how was I? And he went, you were fine.
Yeah, they can't. That's awful.
I mean, he was just being honest.
He was thrilled with the overall product.
But you were fine.
But I was done. It sounded like I was a big step down from where it was overall.
Do you agree or not?
I haven't seen them yet.
Did you give good interview?
Oh, come on. There's a reason I'm in these docs.
Really?
I bring it.
I watched your TikTok yesterday about how you got the WWE job. Very interesting.
You like that? It was inspiration.
Yeah, I mean, you essentially assaulted Vince McMahon.
Well, if you paid attention.
But wait a second.
Go ahead.
As I'm watching that, you have Vince McMahon. You're interviewing him for Hot 97. You have the Hot 97 mic.
Sure I do.
And the mic clip. And you always rip me, and Don, you rip me too, that I asked Adam Sandler on Center Stage to make me a movie star. And he did. You essentially put Vince McMahon on the spot and said, listen, I should be working for you. You did the same thing that you ripped me for.
That is such a terrible comp in a million ways. Don, you hear what I'm saying? I was a 27-year-old who had just gotten into radio, basically, in a real way, and told Vince McMahon, who owns the WWE, I believe I could do a great job for you. I'd love to work for you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I didn't meet a director and say, please. I interviewed Michael B. Jordan today.
Right.
I didn't go, Michael, you know, I noticed in Creed 2, you really used a lot of Max Kellerman. Well, now that HBO isn't really a thing with boxing anymore, maybe you could use me as the commentator. And that would be schnurring my way in. I told the boss of a company, Vince McMahon.
Adam Sandler is the boss of his movie company.
Not
Happy Gilmore Productions.
Yeah. Happy Madison.
Happy Madison.
And still, it's totally
different. No, it's not. It's the same thing.
Don,
hold me up to a different standard.
It's not the same thing because, first of all, you weren't asking for a job. You were asking just for a cameo.
That was a
look
job.
At me like
By the way, it still pays. I get checks for 17 cents. Every
but
time
this was a career. It was a dream of Peter's.
Well, please.
To work for WWE.
Holy Peter and Bad Michael.
Matter of fact, I'll put it this way.
Are you taping me?
Well, you brought up TikTok, so I'm live on my TikTok right now at Rosenberg Radio.
I am giving
people a little insight.
I'll bring it up this way to just show you how deep it is.
Okay.
Back when Peter was dreaming about WWE, it was WWF.
Right.
Right.
That's how long he was dreaming about it. You weren't dreaming to do a cameo in Grown Ups 2.
Yes, I was dreaming to work with Adam Sandler.
Dreaming.
And you know what? I got my dream.
He's 20 years younger than you. Well, 10. He's 10 years younger than you.
Okay, what's your point?
He didn't grow up idolizing him and wanting to be a part of his movies.
Well, I really idolize Hitchcock. But, you know,
unfortunately, Michael, I hate to do this, but I got to defend my guy.
Thank you.
If you want to talk about a talk show host doing a movie with Adam Sandler, they're not talking about Michael Caine.
No, Francesca did it.
Right, so you got a cameo. You begged for a cameo.
Well, you got it. That was a
like
cameo,
begging for change.
That was a cameo, too.
What?
It was a little bit more of a cameo, but it was a cameo.
It was an extended cameo, though.
All right, so you know what? I haven't even said this.
Wow.
But
here we go. I'm zooming in.
The spinoff is in the works.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Grown Ups 3?
Coach Romy series.
Coach
yes.
Romy?
Yes.
I don't believe you.
But they're asking me to put on some weight because I got too thin for the role.
Now, can I just say for the record, if you had actually paid attention to what my video was on my TikTok at Rosenberg Radio, what I said was I begged Vince McMahon for a job. And that's not really how I got the job. How I got the job.
It took a while, right?
I showed up year after year after year after year and eventually got a job. It wasn't, you schnurred your way directly into the movie.
Oh, so let me ask you a question. Did it work?
For you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So stand down, my friend.
Stand down.
So when the Yankees acquired Giancarlo Stanton, they acquired him thinking that he was going to play the outfield. Because he played with the Marlins, and there was no DH in the National League. And if Giancarlo Stanton plays the outfield, Yankees are a better team. They just are. So 3 years ago, I think he played like the last full season, 21, 22, 23. All right. So in 2019, played 83 games in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Last couple of years, last year he played 38 games. They need him in the outfield half the time. The Yankees don't know who their left fielder is. So if he could be in the outfield a lot, it gives Aaron Boone all sorts of areas to play with. So he actually broke something yesterday, which a lot of people have suggested for a while. Playing left field at Yankee Stadium for Stanton, it's not a good idea. He can't cover all that ground. His legs just, for some reason, give out. So you got to put him in right if you want to play him in the outfield. And that means Aaron Judge plays left, or Aaron Judge plays center, and Harrison Bader moves over and plays left field.
HBG.
Right.
I don't know how ideal that is either.
Why?
Well, because you're kind of wasting Judge's arm.
Well, you need an arm in left field. It's Death Valley out there.
True,
but Stanton has a good arm, too.
Yeah, but not like Judge. I mean, Judge.
But he has a good arm.
I think you're wasting Bader in left. I mean, this is a Gold Glove center fielder.
Okay, but he could be a Gold Glove left fielder.
I don't like it.
So you'd rather have Aaron Hicks in left field?
Well, not all the time. Occasionally you can put Stanton out there. But no, I don't think it's ideal.
All right, here's Aaron Boone on the report that he's considering Judge in left and Stanton in right.
I mean, I'm open to things like that, you know, especially in the home ballpark. So we'll see. We'll see. It's something that I would say I'm at least considering it on the table, and we'll just kind of see how, you know, that goes in letting that play out, if getting guys reps in different spots. So no decision on that yet, but it is something on my board.
Now, Stanton was asked on the possibility of playing games in right field.
Yeah, I mean, continue to be similar as last year. Obviously, road bump with the injury there, but, you know, you got to build up to a similar game plan and, you know, see what we can accomplish, putting us in the best scenario to win each night, wherever that is in the lineup.
Well, him playing the outfield puts him in the best situation to win, because he's a much better outfielder than you think, but I think all the time spent standing up in the outfield affects his legs. Now, they Aaron Judge met with the media the other day, and I'm going to put it right out to you right now, Don, right on the spot. He set an American League record last year with 62 home runs. How many is Judge hitting this year? How many home runs is he hitting?
51.
I was just going to say 51.
Really? Yeah. See?
And you're both going to be short.
And what about you? What do you think?
54.
54.
It's going to be unreal. Oh, yeah.
Why is it unreal? It just hit 62.
62 is unreal, too. Hitting over 50. Listen. I refuse to get into a world where hitting over 50 isn't psychotic, okay? Don't get me wrong. I lived through the weird times, too, where Brady Anderson hit 50 home runs.
Just once.
But it was still insane.
Yes.
I mean, he looked like, how do you even describe what Brady Anderson looked like that year? Yeah, the incredible Brady. But, like, in real normal life, it's insane. Giancarlo did it.
Yep. 59.
59's wild.
Not as wild as 62.
And what other over 50s have there been over the last several years?
Well, McGuire and Sosa.
I'm not even counting those. I mean,
Bonds.
You don't say. Where are those ones?
Alex,
in that same period, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, no. That wasn't proven at that point that he was doing anything untoward.
So what year was the year he went over 50?
All 3 years in Texas, he went over 50.
You could probably, I mean, how many guys have hit over 50? Cecil Fielder, George Foster.
George Foster. Bad
time. Not a lot of guys.
No.
I like a lot of guys. As Don LaGreca once said.
No, take it as your own.
No, it's not.
No, you've now said it. Take it as your own.
No, I think you said it better.
It's a great Don LaGreca.
Did Griffey ever hit 50?
I believe he did once. I believe he did.
It's kind of a short list. There's not a lot of guys. And if you want to talk about clean
over 50.
Judge. Griffey.
Maris. And Ruth.
And Fielder was probably clean.
Yes.
He was, right?
And by the way,
you don't know that Fielder was clean.
Well, I think he was clean.
But what did
there weren't roids then?
I guess you're right. He predates the roids.
Yeah,
and he was already around. He was always hitting them in like the mid 40s, right? Like it's not like Fielder all of a sudden was an aberration when he went to 50.
One of the weirdest stats of all time in sports, weirdest of all time. I think you'll agree. Cecil Fielder, Ken Griffey did it twice. Jacob says, Cecil Fielder, and Prince Fielder, both finished with the exact same amount of career home runs.
I know. I do remember that, actually.
It's special. It's a special stat that you get right.
Anyway, that's an underrated
father-son
duo in sports, Cecil and Prince. They were both really good.
Prince was
going to be better.
Yeah, and his back gave. All right, another big-time prediction. Mets won 100 games last year, 101 games.
Yes.
How many are they winning this year?
103.
I was just going to say.
No, come on.
I swear I was just going to say 103.
There's something going on here.
And you're both shorting them again.
What do they got?
106.
Wow.
106.
That's too shy of 86.
Nine Mets. Oh, yeah.
Really?
That's right. You know why?
Why?
I'll tell you why.
Tell me why.
Number one, a guy named Francisco Lindor. And number two?
Buck. And his daughter.
Yep. Well, no, I meant Buck.
Oh. Yankees 199.
Yes.
How many are they winning?
93.
We are not in lockstep
on that. Oh, yeah. Of course you know not. What? Because you're a Yanka hack-a-do. What are you going to say?
I thought 99 again.
A 99, baby.
Yeah.
I'm going to
I think they might take a step back this year.
Oh, really?
Well, here's the thing, Michael. They've sustained a lot of...
I'm going to call it 97, by the way.
I don't know. That came out. I don't even know I was saying it. Sorry.
I think the division, even though we were talking about passing, like the Red Sox are probably not going to be that good, but they'll be better than they were last year. But I think Baltimore, even if they stay the same, that's better than the old Baltimore Orioles. You know, Blue Jays are starting to figure it out here. I mean, the division is tough. And can you constantly maintain that 9,900 without either taking a huge step forward or back? I'm going to say back.
I'm going to tell you why they can. They're not playing 19 games in six series against all the teams in their division.
Understood.
Do you realize that the Red Sox were something like 30 games under 500 within the American League East? Against everybody else, they were about 30 games over 500. Okay. So I think that's going to really – I think all the wild cards are going to come out of the East.
But there's going to be other good teams they're going to have to face.
True.
Because they face everybody now.
Right. But I still think the Central doesn't measure up with any team in the East. And the Astros are the Astros. They're the best team.
And the Mariners are the Mariners. The Mariners might be very. You don't think so?
Mariners are the same thing as what. The Mariners are the baseball version of the Vikings.
Okay. I don't know if they're going to the World Series the way. The Buster's got them going to the World Series.
Passon was high on them.
Dave Sims was high on them. Well, granted, he's a television boy. So he's Mariner boy. I guess that's what they would say in Seattle, even though he spends his off time in New York. Michael spends his off time where the Yankees play in New York.
Right.
But the Mariners are good. The Angels got
to
be.
There are only 30 of these jobs, so Dave has the Seattle job. What do you want him to do?
Stay in Seattle.
Why? He's a New Yorker during
right,
the winter.
So it's hard to say Mariner boy when he's spending his off season not talking Mariners, but like hanging out in New York. Hanging out with Don LaGreca. Shooting the breeze at a hockey game.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Nobody does. No. Really, I think everybody around the tri-state is going, what is he saying?
So the only way to be Mariner boy is if he spends year-round sipping coffee in Seattle?
No, doing a talk show, talking up the Mariners. No, he's out the door. The second the season's over, bang, he's in New York. Good hanging out at the Garden. Albeit to see the Kraken, but still.
Oh, so that does sound like more like Seattle boy.
I love Dave. Very talented guy.
We have to take... note of all of these predictions and write them down because I don't think you could
Anthony's
be more.
Got it.
You got him, Anthony? Okay.
Now, I'm not saying the Yankees aren't winning the division.
Well, what are you saying then? You're dropping them six wins.
So six wins.
And they just picked up a great pitcher.
They just lost one, too.
Well
not a great
pitcher. Who's the one they lost?
Montas is not a great pitcher.
Yeah, he was such a big part of the 99
wins. They thought
wins.
So. He was going to be their number two starter
but
this year.
But he was zero.
I understand.
He added nothing last year.
So zero was going to be their number two
zero
starter.
Zero minus 99
and
is 99.
And we're also taking 11 home runs away from Judge. That could affect games. We're going to have Stanton dying in left field playing 100-some-odd games.
He's not playing in left. You don't want it to happen. He's playing in right, and Judge or Bader is playing
But you were
left.
Saying that he might squeeze into left. I think it's a bad idea both ways. I don't think you should I don't think you should mess with taking Judge out of right field. If they do, it's a mistake.
Mike Green just texted me. He thinks the Mets are going to win 115.
No.
Yeah.
That's one shot. He's in that board. Think about it. That's
a lot.
That's a Met lover. Like
he loves the Mets.
Like he's betting the Mets with that prediction. That's one shy of the
base. Betting or betting?
Betting.
Oh, like sleeping with them.
Getting down to his skivvies, going under the underwear and snuggling with the Mets.
Wow.
That's one shy of the major league record held by Dave Sims, Seattle Mariners, 116 wins. Right. That's a bold prediction.
Mike's bold.
Braves are still good.
Right.
Phillies are still good.
Maybe even better than they were, but they don't have Harper until maybe the All-Star break.
God, how great Peter would do. I'd be skipping to work all summer.
Why?
If they're on their way to winning 115 games.
Yeah, but what happened to the Mariners team that won 116? They lost.
Yeah, but what happened to the Met team that won 108? Won the World Series.
They barely squeaked by, thanks to a ball through the legs of Bill Buckner.
Well, listen, that game was already tied. And and they were going to win that game. Once they tied the game, I felt like, not the way they did, and not in that inning.
Right.
You were in the building.
I was
once
in the building.
They tied it on the Stanley Wild pitch, did you think the Mets were losing that game?
No. Well, now, I did not see it live. Because the Mets at Shea Stadium, they had the slowest elevator of all time.
This is a great story.
It was like for
Cal. Why were you there?
I was covering for the Post.
Covering for the Post, okay.
So in the ninth inning, you had to go down and get near the Red Sox clubhouse so you can go in and get the celebration. The celebration.
Yeah, if you will.
So I was down. They didn't have a TV down there. All they had was like a crackly radio. So you're listening to the Met broadcast, and you couldn't hear a thing. All you heard was the building was shaking. You heard this loud din from outside, and the building was shaking, and we're all wondering what's going on. Now, the next thing we know, they had set up for the celebration for the Red Sox in the visiting clubhouse at Shea Stadium. And Mrs. Yawkey, I think she was in her 80s, or yeah, late 80s, she was in there to accept the trophy for the Red Sox. Suddenly, there's two guys. One has her by the ankles, and the other one has her under the armpits, and they're carrying her out of the clubhouse.
Lifted her right out.
They lifted her right out to get her out of there before the team came back. And so all the writers are going in that were standing out there. We don't know how it took place, so we're asking questions blind. We see Bob Stanley sitting there like he lost his best friend. What do you think about what happened? I mean, blind questions. And then we finally pieced it together what happened.
Why didn't you just go on Twitter and search?
There was no Twitter. Oh, yeah. There wasn't even cell phones.
Right. There wasn't even a TV showing the game.
Right, and I got to Shea that night on a horse. So.
I was about to say, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, it was the old days. The old days. Let's go to...
the bicycle with the really big wheel and the tiny one by.
Yeah. And he had a big mustache.
Yeah, and it was waxed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to Adam in New Jersey. Adam.
Hello?
Hello, Adam.
Hello.
Hi. How are you? Big fan.
Thanks.
Yeah, so actually it's kind of a moot point now what I was about to say, but when you were talking about football, I called in. I'm so sick of hearing about Aaron Rodgers and, like, the worst team in New York where we have all this great stuff going on. You know, Aaron Rodgers, I don't think he's going to be a Jet anyway. He doesn't want to be Brett Favre, you know, and we got two playoff hockey teams, you know, fresh slate for both baseball teams, but it's nothing more exciting. And all we're talking about is Aaron Rodgers and the worst team in New York. So, but now we moved on to baseball.
I guess he's not a Jet fan.
Strong. Are you a Giant fan?
I am a Giant fan, but it's not even about that. Just football, Aaron Rodgers, he's not even going to be here. And we have all this great stuff happening.
Well, Adam, listen, I don't think I have to tell you this. I love you. I love you like a brother that I didn't have, okay? I don't think we're moving the needle like breaking down the Islanders. You're talking about the Yankees and the Mets, and yeah, they're compelling stories. They haven't thrown a pitch yet in anger. Believe
me. What's the big deal? It's Aaron Rodgers.
Listen, these people want to host shows.
You know.
Here's the deal, everybody.
He would have a complaint if we were talking about, can the Jets get Andy Dalton? Is there a world when Andy Dalton comes out of his garbage retreat that he is going to choose the Jets? That'd be a different story.
Garbage retreat?
Well, I would say, I wanted to change it up.
Interesting.
What is a garbage retreat?
Listen, you have...
What's a darkness retreat 5 minutes ago?
Everybody within the sound of our voice. Everyone. You don't have to call in and talk about what we're talking about. If something's on your mind, baby, just ask us the question.
Here's the issue I had with... What was it?
Adam.
He spent a minute and a half talking about the thing he thought we were ridiculous talking about. Why just get to your point? We were talking Yankees. You get to talk Yankees.
Yeah,
you wanted to talk about the three playoff teams.
He was locked and loaded for ripping us, and he called in and was on hold for a while.
You got to change on the fly, man. You had some time. We started talking Yankees. Make your Ranger point. Make your Devil point. Hey, Weeks is reporting that next year he's hearing Stadium Series Met Life Rangers Devils.
See, I saw that, and Weeks is always on point. But I got to tell you, Met Life, does that move the needle? I mean, the history of MetLife, okay, that means there's a hockey game and a Venetian blind. Put it in Citi Field. Put it in Yankee Stadium. MetLife, to me, doesn't move the needle.
I don't think it's really about the venue anymore. They had almost 57,000 people in North Carolina where NC State plays. I mean, is that a historic building? It's just the fact that 57,000 people in Raleigh, North Carolina went to see a hockey game outdoors. Isn't that cool? You'll get 80,000 people at MetLife Stadium. So what do you care about the venue?
Wait,
if you get 80,000 people, don't they be exciting?
Wait, it's the stadium tour now?
Well, no.
I thought it's the...
What was the Winter Classic is the one that matters more for the venue.
There's the Winter Classic, going to involve the same 10 teams because you want to get a rating. It's on New Year's
Day
usually.
Right.
So they created the Stadium Series to get a little creative for teams that really don't have a shot. So over the weekend, in Raleigh, the Hurricanes played the Capitals. The Hurricanes had never been in a Winter Classic. The Devils would never be in a Winter Classic. The Islanders would never be. So why not create things for them? So you get the Rangers, which would be a draw. Devils, 80,000 people in MetLife Stadium.
It has to be a Devils home game because the Rangers have a tax abatement. They can't play a game out of Madison Square Garden.
So when they played
a home game.
When the Rangers played at Yankee Stadium against the Islanders and the Devils, they were the road team.
Right.
And when they played the Buffalo Sabres at Citi Field, Buffalo was the home team for that reason.
And 80,000 would show up to MetLife for that game?
Yeah. You don't think so?
Just for the goof.
They sold out Citi Field for Sabres Rangers. Why wouldn't they sell out MetLife for Devils Rangers?
Well, MetLife is much bigger than Citi Field.
But that's contingent upon Hughes playing.
Hughes.
It's Hughes, according to Charlie.
Got it. And they just had the game this weekend, so it happens in February?
Well, it could happen at different times, but it happened in February in Raleigh. It was really, you don't think that's cool? 57,000 people watching
a
Hurricanes game?
I would like the Rangers to play in a Winter Classic again at Yankee Stadium. And I would like Kenny to be off for some reason. And I would like you to sit in the Yes booth and do the game, right where I do the Yankee games. That would bring us even closer than we are.
Well, that'd be nice.
Or, just spitballing.
Go ahead.
During an arduously long 81-game home schedule,
mm-hmm.
you couldn't carve out an inning for Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg to promote the Michael Kay Show on Yes.
But why
well,
you,
on
why,
a hot
why
August
do you,
evening.
Why do you come to me with that? That would be like somebody saying, Michael, can you put me on the air on the Michael Kay Show? It's not my call.
You're such
it's
a
not your call, but you are somebody that can throw it out there in a Yes meeting,
It's been shot down.
Such a phony.
How am I a phony? I'm telling you the truth. It's been shot down. Yankee games are very serious affairs.
Well, maybe they should be a little less serious, okay?
Really?
Because you know what?
What?
You put Peter and I, you get a bigger number.
I'm not quite sure.
I'm saying it's got to be Yankees, Red Sox.
Especially spring training.
All right. When we get back here, I have something that will definitely anger Yankee fans. Stay tuned.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Yankees can't trade Josh Donaldson. And I keep telling you, they don't want to. They don't want to. The money has already been put into the budget. He's going to cost $25 million with a $2 million buyout for next year. Because they think he's great. And they think there's more there offensively. And they love him defensively, and they're right to love him defensively. He fell short offensively last year, but they don't think that it's going to be an issue. Listen to Aaron Boone here, and he was asked, why are you confident that Donaldson bounces back?
First of all, we're talking about a great player. Like, this has been a star player, and consistently for a long time. He's not far removed from 2021 where, you know, he was still a wrecking ball. You know, I think last year with the lockout, probably came in a little behind the eight ball. I think he had an amazing winter. He's physically, he looks great. His assessments, everything, he's moving really well. But the things he did this winter to get himself ready to go, you know, I think you're crazy to think that a bounce back is not in there offensively. This guy still has bat speed and, again, is super talented. And I think physically at this point in a much better place than he was a year ago right now.
So, again, I don't think I was fibbing to you. They love the guy. So if you think they're out there trying to, like, execute a trade, don't. Don't. It's not true. They're not trying to trade him. They think the world of him. Now, the one thing I would, you know, argue with Aaron about, this guy's a great player.
He's not anymore.
Well, he's 37 years old. Do people do get old? So has he reached that point? I mean, we asked that about Aaron Rodgers, too. They have a bad year last year, which wasn't a bad year for a lot of players, but for Donaldson, that was a bad year. So is he suddenly going to rediscover things after an awful year where he played a lot of the time? He played a lot of games. So that's the big question. But yeah, the Yankees think the offense is still in there, Don.
Listen, I get that nobody cares about batting average anymore, right? But his batting average dropped 25 points from 21 to 22. He batted 222.
Look at the power.
You know, power. He had 15 home runs, 62 RBIs. He walked 54 times, struck at 148. I know they don't care about that either.
No, they care about if it's only 15 home runs.
Yeah, exactly. And you're talking about a slugging percentage of 374, on base 308, on base plus slugging of 682. All massive drops from the year before in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
So was it just injuries, or is this guy starting to lose it? And I'm sorry, at 37, 12 years in the league, he's not great anymore. Now, you could love him all you want to keep him. I get that. But is he a great player right now? No.
He's a great defender. I will give you that. So I understand that the Yankees liked him for that, and I think he should have been in the final three for the Gold Glove. He wasn't even in the final three and didn't win it. That I don't quite understand, but they love his defense, and they do believe that there's something in the thing that concerns me, he didn't have the power last year. And I'll give you proof positive. How many times did you see him do the bat flip and start to go into a home run trot, and the ball was caught? It was caught at the wall or on the warning track with a lot of room to spare. So balls that he felt he squared up and really hit on the screws,
right,
did not leave the ballpark. That's a little bit of a concern to me.
26 home runs down to 15.
And he was an MVP at one point.
Yeah, he won the MVP. That was 2015, not that long ago. You know what's interesting, Michael, unless I'm reading this wrong? He's never won a Gold Glove.
He's a real good player defensively. So Yankee fans, they took aim at the left side of the infield and Aaron Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're going to have a different shortstop unless Peraza or Volpe completely wet the bed during spring training. Then maybe they'll trade IKF, who's owed $6 million. And left field is Aaron Hicks or maybe Willie Calhoun, who they signed. We'll see. But the three people that Yankee fans didn't dig last year, they're getting back Donaldson. They just are. So don't sit back and wait for that trade. It's not happening.
And Hicks may not be your everyday left fielder. He's not going anywhere.
We'll see. Now, Aaron Judge said something to Fox Sports that really resonates with me.
Mm.
Because it backs up what I said. I don't understand players that are under contract to play for a team just traipsing off for 3 weeks and going to play for the WBC. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense.
I hate traipsing.
Yeah, it's not good.
Well, what does it look like?
Traipsing is almost like skipping. Yeah, it's almost like skipping.
Okay.
But it's a little more cumbersome than skipping. Anyway, Judge is one of the best players in baseball. He's the reigning MVP. Broke the home run record. I don't know if you realize that.
Yeah, sure.
But he's not in the USA team for the WBC. Mm. And this is what he said. It would be an honor to represent my country and play in that, but my main goal is what I can do here in New York and what I can do to bring a championship back here. I think especially after signing a 9-year contract, for me, priorities are New York. Maybe 4 years down the road, hopefully I can still make the team and get an opportunity to play. But right now, for me, my focus is here. Listen, I love my country. Don loves Canada. We get it.
Right.
People love their country. But this is a contrived event, which is good, and it brings awareness of baseball all around the world, which I love. It's at the wrong time. Anybody who's traipsing off to play in the WBC, they care more about representing their country than playing for the team that's paying them. I think it's a bad choice. I really do. I think it's a really bad choice. The fact that Jonathan Loaisiga is going to leave the Yankees and not play for them for 3 weeks in spring training if his team goes all the way to the final, that's not good. The Mets have 9 players out their 26-man roster. The whole infield, Don, is going to the WBC. To me, you're not all in for the Mets if you're doing that. You can't split your priorities.
Hey, if you really listen to what Aaron Judge said, he's not ruling out the possibility of doing it someday.
Right.
So let's not praise him. He's coming in the first year of a long extension. he might decide next year, all right, I'm going to play.
But it's every 3 years.
Well, the next time, right. I'm sorry. So he'll maybe he wins a championship in that time. You know, so at some point
right,
he may
that
decide
would be
to do
key
it.
If he won a championship.
Right. Now, does that mean he's any less all in on the Yankees 3 years from now if he decides, hey, it might be my last chance to do it, I'm going to do it?
Especially this year. You're playing under new rules.
Yes.
And those new rules are not being employed in the WBC. It's imperative that batters get into the box and pitchers learn to pitch every 15 seconds, and you're not doing that in the WBC. And since the WBC has MLB's imprint and fingerprints all over it, it is mind-boggling to me that they did not institute those new rules in the WBC.
It's very strange. And also, when you have the face of your sport not wanting to play in it and flat out says, I'm sorry, I owe it to my team to be here. How do you move forward from it? Because it makes everybody that goes to the WBC, I guess, look bad, like they're not all in, or they're on bad teams, or they're thinking about themselves instead of their team, whatever. But you've got an event that's backed by Major League Baseball. Baseball sees it's important because trying to sell the sport internationally is like every league, even right. the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they play games in Mexico and London and Germany. It's really on the top of every commissioner's list of things they want their sport to do. How does it look when the face of the sport doesn't want to do it? Like, how do you move forward from that?
Well, but Mike Trout's playing for the USA. I mean, so they do have great players. It's interesting because, I mean, Gerrit Cole's not pitching for the USA, and he shouldn't. And Luis Severino wanted to pitch, and they said no. You know, with your injuries.
Yeah, that would be silly.
Listen, every owner can't say a word because it's a Major League Baseball initiative. But every GM and manager, if you really injected sodium pentothal into their system, they would want none of their players to go. You don't think Buck Showalter is pulling out whatever Harry has left because his whole infield is going to the WBC? It's crazy. It's crazy. Your first priority has to be your team. And don't give me the country mumbo jumbo. It's not the Olympics. It's something that just started happening a decade or so ago. This is not something that's steeped in tradition. Your priority should be your team.
And I'm all for the international play. You only do it every 3 years, right? Not everybody gets a chance to go to these things. Where are they going to be played in the United States? Do you know off the top of your head?
I think it's Phoenix, I believe. But then if you're playing for a team that you play in the Far East, they're playing games in the Far East, there'll be players that are traveling to the Far East.
I'll tell you, in 2013, I was in Arizona. I took Nancy to the Giants spring training. And we got because the World Baseball Classic, one of the venues, was in Arizona. So we went to two games, Michael, USA, Italy. I got tickets for $20 right behind home plate. There must have been 10,000 people in the building.
Right.
The next day, Mexico was playing somebody. I forget who it was. I was in the upper deck. The place was packed. So it is important to a lot of people, but just it's not a United States thing. I mean, first of all, how are you supposed to compete? You've got NBA and NHL. The playoffs are coming. You're going to be down the end of the regular season. Like, even you got to really love baseball, Michael, to invest time to watch this and care about it here in North America. And then you're doing it every 3 years. So then it's once you get into it, it's like out of sight, out of mind. You got to wait 3 years for it to happen again.
Yeah. To me, it's just ill-advised to have it now. And it should be done in November or something like that in the winter. But I have not said this on the air.
Oh, really?
I'm going to break a little news here.
Here we go.
Speaking of international play. So Major League Baseball has a series in London at the end of June. And
go ahead.
Michael Kay and Alex Rodriguez will be doing the play-by-play and color, not a K-Rodcast, of the game in London on Sunday at 10 a.m. in the morning.
Really?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you.
And
love London, too.
I love that's one of, because it's United States adjacent.
Very close.
So I will be going to London for that. Wow. Not off some screen.
Really?
No, I'm going
to London. I really honestly thought we'd have to like play the game of it seem like Michael's actually going.
No, I'll
that's
be in jolly
really cool.
old London, yeah.
Great.
Foggy London?
Yeah.
What day are you going to go?
Probably the Friday.
And the game Sunday?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I'm off the next series from the Yankees, so I'll come back Tuesday. Jody might join me. We'll just have some London time.
Wow.
Yeah.
We know London's the only place you like.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
Really sad.
Yeah. There's nothing like the United States of America. This is a great country. Great country.
It's fantastic.
Love it and embrace it.
But you can also love other places, to Don's point.
Yeah.
I was just in Canada this weekend. It was terrific.
Okay, good. We'll talk about that in a moment.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Let's go to Alan in the money truck. What's up, Alan?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hope all is well.
Same to you, man.
So, Mike, man, all right, Mr. Vindictive himself. Like, how are you going to say that teams do not want to play spoiler? If you were a coach, you probably have the best record at being spoiler for teams making the playoffs. Like, it's like, I know Anita Marks threw out a number earlier this season with the Lions. She said that teams to play spoiler win 68% of the time. It's one of those numbers, 61 to 68. Forget which one. So teams really like to play spoiler.
Maybe I didn't articulate it that well. I think nobody goes out and wants to lose a game, but the motivation to win is not as great as the motivation for the Packers to win. I'm sorry, it's just not.
Okay,
but,
I got you.
But I agree with you, Alan, in this sense. It's the Detroit Lions. They hardly ever play on national television. They had an amazing season. They hate the Green Bay Packers and have a chance to knock them out of the playoffs. There wasn't one player in that locker room that was mailing it in or thinking we were done. Now, if that had been, let's say that had been the 49ers or the Cowboys who made the playoffs, they're probably devastated and don't care. But when you're the Lions and you never get a chance to really do anything anybody pays attention to, you're going to rise to the occasion. They wanted to win that game. They were motivated to win.
Well, they want it. And if you're a coach, you definitely want to win because that's what Dan Campbell is trying to achieve with the Lions, you know, to always play hard. And they played hard this year. They just missed. Seattle ended up winning the game. And see, to me, I meant because Seattle had won the 1 o'clock game, or the 4 o'clock game, they knew once the game started, there had to be a letdown that they didn't have a chance to make the playoffs. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying they weren't trying to win, but who had a greater motivation to win, the Lions or the Packers?
Right, but I just think motivation's out the window. Both wanted to win, and the Lions were just a better football team. They were a better football team all year, and the Packers weren't very good. They look how many games that they lost at home when the Giants weren't very good, when we weren't sure how good the Jets were. Went into Lambeau and beat them. So really, was it that crazy a thought that the Lions, motivated to win, were going to be better than the Packers?
Let's go to Dave in Atlanta.
Hey, guys. Hey, you know, I'm thinking about the upcoming win total predictions for the Yankees in particular. Are you guys factoring in that Stanton is going to miss 50 games, right? We know 50. That is a fact. Mm-hmm. Write it down, right? Are we factoring that in?
Well, he missed 50 games last year. They won 99 games.
Right. Okay. There are questions at third base, shortstop, left field.
So you're giving me everything that happened last year, and they won 99 games.
Yeah, but I think a lot of things sort of went right for them last year, and I mean, I don't think you can count on that from year to year.
Well, they had a great first half, and then they really struggled in the second half, so it didn't go right in the second half.
See, the thing about last year's 99 win total is just they got off to an amazing start. We thought they were going to break the record for wins, and as Aaron Boone said, they were able to bank a lot of that, and then in the second half, they weren't nearly as good. That's what I'm kind of looking at, Michael, when I say 93. I'm betting that somewhere in between is going to be what they truly are.
So, Dave, what number you have?
I mean, I can see them. Listen, I'm a Yankee fan. I'd love to see them win 110 games. But if they won 85 games and they don't have a closer, and if they won 85 games, I wouldn't be shocked. And, you know, they won all these games last year because they were riding the Judge wave. We really can't expect another, 55 to 60 home runs this year, can we?
Well, I mean, in his first 6 years in the big leagues, he hit 50 one year and 62 in another. And you're saying they don't have a closer. They have the same closer they had last year. Clay Holmes, and he's not injured. Chapman was really never the closer. He was terrible. Now he's at the Kansas City Royals. So you're picking and choosing things. They spent a lot of the postseason, a lot of the second half of the season without Michael King. He's back. Clay Holmes is healthy. They added Tommy Kahnle to the mix as well. Don't tell me they don't have a closer. They have a really good, outstanding bullpen.
And I don't think I'm out of line with my 93. His 85, that would be surprising. I think they've got way too much talent to be just an average baseball team.
That would be a pretty
team.
Big drop-off.
It's funny. I think Baseball Prospectus has them at winning the division at 97. And then I forget the other analytic group that has them at 87 wins but still winning the division.
Hmm.
I don't think they'll win 87. I think they'll win in the 90s.
If they win 87, it'll be because they locked up the division, kind of like what they did. I think, didn't they win only 87 in 2000? Yeah, so.
Yeah, but they almost gave it away. Yeah. They really struggled. Let's go to Paul in Trenton. Paul.
Yeah, hi, guys.
What's up?
I was thinking about that WBC, about these players. You know, why can't the owners get together? They should have done this from the beginning. And decided that, okay, you want to play for your country, that's fine. But if you get hurt, you forfeit your pay that you would get for those games that you're out.
Yeah.
Could they do something like that?
Paul, because the owners are under order from Central Baseball and the commissioner's office, they cannot at all try to discourage the players from playing. They'll get fined an inordinate amount. I think the players probably, they're whispered to, some players that we'd rather you not play. But if an owner or a GM outwardly says you can't play other than injury, which is why the Yankees did not give Severino permission, then they're going to get fined. This is a Major League Baseball initiative. So if the owners actually shoot it down and tell the best players not to play, then you kind of ruin the whole idea, right? I think it's a great idea. It's a great thought. It's a terrible time to do it. These are when players are starting to round into shape. Now, all of a sudden, they're playing in front of crowds of 50,000 in games that have to be won.
Right,
don't tell me that the possibility of injury is not there.
There's really no other way, no other time to do it.
In November.
No, but in November, they won't be in condition. It's in the middle of their offseason.
But they just finished the season.
Yeah, a big, long season. They're going to want to break. Nobody would play, Michael.
In
November.
But people play in winter leagues. They play in the Dominican.
Well, the guys that absolutely have to.
No, some people just do it because they love it.
I don't think you wouldn't get – you're barely getting a turnout now. You would almost get nothing if they played in November.
I mean, a lot of players play, especially the Latin players. They really love representing their country.
Plus, baseball doesn't want to do it because they'd be on the weekends. You're going up against college football. You're going up against NFL.
Well, don't have it on the weekends. Have it during the week when there's, you know, there's holes to play. I just think you're fostering a possibility of players getting injured. And the players are under the guidance of somebody who's not affiliated with your team. So is he going to push the guy and make him pitch another inning that the Mets or the Yankees would not have? That's what worries me. If you really want to win a World Series, that's not where you should be. It's just not where you should be. Doesn't make any sense.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.